Bueno. If that don't get you burning hot, your wood's wet. And if your wood's wet, just go outside for a little bit to dry up. It's a little warm out there today. Amen? I can't see y'all. Yeah, where's some lights? I can't see them. What's up? Everybody doing good this morning? Huh? Make sure that air is on, man. It's hot. It's hot.
It's on 68. There's just so many people in here.
Well, drop it down to 65. No, what's the temp?
It's 77 degrees.
Oh, leave it where it's at. Yeah.
So is body heat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, body heat. I hear you. The presence of the Lord, yes.
The Holy Spirit is a hot man.
Talking about how he looks or
both?
Okay. All right, let's go to Isaiah 40. I think that's where I'm gonna start today. Woo! If you don't know who I am, my name is Greg Lee. Yeah. You know, Pastor Paul and I switch out. The reason why we do that is because, you know, I just get a little bit and then people start leaving. So he comes back, he'll preach, and then people start coming back, and then I'll preach, and then they'll leave. And I'm playing. Isaiah chapter 40. My gosh. Let's pray. Let's do that. That's a good thing. Lord, we thank you for your help this morning. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Open up the eyes of our understanding. Let them be enlightened, that we'll know the hope of your calling. We'll know what it is that you have called us to do. We'll know what it is that we need to step into. That we'll know not only the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, but the exceeding greatness of your power that you presented towards us. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity this morning. Father, I thank you that as I open my mouth, you'll fill it. And now we tender and prepare our hearts to receive your good word, to receive the seed of your good word, and it produces good fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 40, verse 28 is where I'm going to start. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary, they'll walk, and they'll not faint. This is a church of vision, faith, and action. If you're not one that likes to do stuff, the door's there. This place is a place where we get the vision from God, we get what it is that God would have us to do, we put our faith upon it, and then there is action that follows. Those who wait upon the Lord are not those that just sit around on their duff. Those who wait upon the Lord do what? Now, look what the Bible said. What's the Bible say? Those who wait upon the Lord shall what? They'll renew. That's doing something. They shall what? Mount up. They doing something. They shall what? Run. They doing something. They shall what? Walk and not be faint. To wait upon the Lord is not to sit back and sit there and go, well, I'm just waiting, but God's going to do something. Pastor Paul said it 2 weeks ago. The only thing the enemy has to do is convince you that God is going to do something. That's what religion will try to do. That's right, Pastor Ginger. Religion will try to teach you that God is going to do something. I'm waiting on my healing. I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting on that. I'm waiting on the Lord to move. The Lord's going to move. He's going to. Now, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said the words, "It's finished." And that was the point. He was saying that. That's not just there just to say, well, he's dead and his time is done here. No, when he said it's finished, the work, the completed work of salvation, the Greek word is sozo, which means everything that you're looking for and that the world is looking for was completed and done then. God is seated on his throne. The Bible tells us that Jesus is seated at his right hand. If there's so much they need to be doing, why aren't they standing up and doing it? They're seated. When I get through with, we got a new house thing, and it's just nuts. And I'm dapping holes in walls. Y'all ever do any dap? Dapper. He puts it in his hair. Anyway. Dapper Dan. Put dap on the wall. Whenever I get finished, what is it that I do? Well, after I sand it, and I'm finished with the work, Ginger. I mean, I'm done with my work. And when I'm done with my job and she's still working, what am I going to do? I'm going to sit down. And what happens when we sit down? Let's look at this real quick. What happens when we sit down? We rest. We take the weight of whatever it is we're carrying and we put it on something else. When you sit, the Bible says that we were, this is Ephesians chapter 2. It's not in my notes, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 2, I think it's around verse 6. Can you go there, Sarah, real quick? I'm sorry. You know, if you're ever running the media and I'm preaching, leave, because I'll just jump around. Go back to verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, he what? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God is seated on his throne. Jesus sat down at his right hand, the Bible says. And we are seated with him. We are seated. There is a rest that we get into. And this is spiritually speaking, we're set down because the completed work of salvation is done. To work for that which Jesus brought is futile. You're wasting your time trying to get what Jesus died for. If you're trying to get salvation, if you're trying to get forgiveness, if you're trying to get something, you are wasting your time. Christianity is not all about trying to get anything. It's not some great big, let me go get. It's a great big, it's already done. It's a completed work. The work is finished. There is no reason to go out there and try to jump through 5 or 6 hoops to try to obtain your healing, to try to get your healing, to try to get something. It would be like me trying to get the money I got in my pocket. I already got it. It's already in my pocket. Why would I try to get it if it's already in there? It's already in the account. I got my debit card. I can whip it out. The money's already there. Swipe the card, man. We are sitting here. I mean, seriously, in the things of God, and in the things of God, we have a tendency as a church, and I'm not talking about CCAM, I'm talking about the body. We have a tendency to try to think that there's something that we need to obtain from God. My goodness gracious, folks, he's sitting down. And then he set Jesus down. And then set you right down with him. The work of salvation is finished. Healing, health, prosperity. Heaven. You got to work to get to heaven. Man, what is that? I mean, the Bible even tells us right here, if you go back to the next one, it said by grace we've been saved. If you continue on, it says that we've been saved by grace through faith. That's it. Not doing the hokey pokey and turn yourself around every morning whenever you get up. You got to do all that. It's done. It's a completed work. So whenever I say, let's go to James chapter 2 now. There we go. We got there, Lord. So whenever I say that we're a church of vision, faith, and action, do know this. The action I'm talking about is not you trying to get something. You have to understand that which God has already provided through the sacrifice of Jesus is there. It's settled. It's done. It's written in heaven that it's completed. Are y'all tracking with me here? You tracking with me, huh? Is this making sense? Okay, it's quiet in this little old Methodist church right here. Sure is quiet in here. Processing, okay, processing. All right, we're going to go to James chapter 2. Those who wait upon the Lord will what? They'll do some stuff. And they're not doing stuff to get and obtain from the... It's time to put some action behind what we believe is already there. I mean, yeah. James chapter 2. Yeah, I'm going to read all of it. Get ready. Verse 14. Not all of it, but it's going to be a lot. Verse 14. You don't have to get back all the way up there, Sarah. I'm sorry, girl. No, you put in there what I got. Yeah. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but does not have the works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute daily food, and one of them says to them, depart, be in peace, be warmed and filled, and you not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Yet you believe that there is one God, and you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Anybody can believe. Satan believes in God. He knows he exists because he's whooped him. It's called demon faith. You just believe and then you sit. That's what you call it. That's the way they do it. You like that? That's the way the demons do it. They believe, but they don't do anything with it. Yeah, God's right there, but I ain't lining up. I'm sorry, I love y'all. Verse 21, was not Abraham... Now you can see why people leave. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his only son, at the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Verse 25, likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now keep tracking with me. Don't lose me here because you can lose me. Now remember Ephesians... It's talking about we already been seated, right? You got to track with me on this thing. Already been seated. That thing's done, right? It's by grace that we've been saved through faith. So the grace did the work, right? The faith is what activates the work that's already been done. I'm sorry. This seat's a hot seat. I'm sorry. It just whoever sits here gets patted on, touched. I'm sorry. I still love you. Here, I get up here since that's a lady. I can pat on a dude. I don't want nobody talking. Did you see him? He was touching that lady during the message. Hey, y'all laugh, but it happened. Somebody was thinking that. Somebody in here was thinking just that very thing. Yeah, just keep smiling so I don't know who you are. So it's by grace that we've been saved through faith. So the salvation happens by the grace, but the grace did the work. Jesus did the work. The work is finished. But through the faith is how we activate the grace. For instance, when you were saved, do you remember what happened the day you were saved? Yes. What'd you do? You said what? A prayer. You said a prayer. You actually put some action behind what you believe to be true and access the grace of Jesus Christ, and everything that he did on the death, burial, and resurrection was handed to you as a free gift of righteousness right then. Wow. That's it. And yeah, it is that simple. Vision, faith, and action. My goodness, it is that simple. Get a vision of what God has for you, slap your faith on it, and then move on it. Faith without works is dead. It's like this shirt that I'm wearing this morning that I think I wore last week. I couldn't remember. I think I did, didn't I? I did? Yeah, same shirt. I don't care. We didn't wash it neither. That's why whenever I was hugging everybody, like, what's that smell? Yeah, it's me. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Child. It's just like his shirt. When I take this shirt off, what happens to it? Come on, it's not a trick question. What happens to the shirt? It just, nothing. Yeah, every thread breathes a sigh of relief. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tom, you're something else. I'm going to get you, man. Yeah. Okay, so the shirt comes off, breathes its sigh of relief, and then what? Nothing. It hits the ground. It does not have any life in it at all. Faith without works or corresponding action is dead, just like this shirt would be. It has no life. It is not living faith. It is not moving faith. It is demon faith. It's just like the demon faith. You believe something, but yet there's no action to it. It's dead. It's dead. It has no life in it. It has no growth in it. It has no value to it. It's just dead. Here we go. I knew there was something in there I needed to see. It does not mean that you don't have any faith. It just means that what you got is dead. Now, how many of y'all go deer hunting? Okay, that didn't work. I don't have any deer hunters in here. I got one, two, got a few of them over here. All right, how many of y'all have ever heard of anybody that's gone deer hunting before? Yeah, he's a deer slayer. This is the deer slaying ninja right here. He's like a ninja. He puts stuff over his face. All you can see is his eyes a little bit. Yeah. He's in the city limits, man. You can't say it. No, he's in the city limits. He don't do anything. No. He don't kill nothing in his yard. No, sir. We just feed him. So a deer, when you kill that thing, when you kill him and you track him down and you find him, and he's, what, 200, 250, is that right? 215? How many pounds are they? Huh? That's a big one? Well, heck, I don't know. Shows you how much I could. 150? About 150. Has anybody drug 150 of dead weight around? It's work. You got to pull that mess and his antlers getting all caught up in stuff, so you switch up and then you go pulling. You just pulling and dragging and pulling and dragging and pulling and dragging and pulling and dragging and pulling and dragging. Pulling and dragging, pulling and dragging and dragging and pulling and dragging. It don't matter. You're doing it all. It's like the chicken and the egg. I don't know which one comes first, but one of them does. Y'all tracking with me here? Dead weight is heavy. It's hard. It's tough. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you get over into faith, when you get over into faith, all those, there's problems, and there's issues, and there's stuff, and there's junk. When you put action behind what you believe, the weight of it seems to leave you. Because now your faith is alive. Your faith is not dead. You're not holding it. Oh, God, I don't know if I can last in this. No. You've decided that the finished work through grace, through Jesus Christ, is done. And now with that finished work, you're going to shrug off that dead weight and move and put action behind what you believe to be true. And all of a sudden, the weight of it is removed. That dead weight, that heavy weight gets off of you. Getting some blank stares again. Moving on. The Word of God was not written for just one person. or one people. It was written for all of mankind to say what God has done, what he has spoken, what he has put into action, what for all of mankind, present, past, and future, to latch on with their faith to access the grace of Jesus Christ to obtain that which we all hope, dream, and desire for. The Word is not there just to give you something to read every day because you feel like you need to change your life. The Word is there to show you what God has already done for you. It is finished. And since it's finished, and since we know that God has already done it, we take our faith. Because we get the vision from the Word, we take our faith and put action to it, and now God's got something he can work with. Can't steer a parked car. My gosh, I've heard that for the past 15 years. But it's true. I've tried to steer a parked car. You turn the wheels and it's kind of, even with power steering, it's a little tough. You take power steering out of the thing, man, that's ridiculous. It's crazy. You sure you turned that air on or did you turn it off? My goodness. Y'all tracking with me? Faith that does not have action behind it is not alive. It's dead. It's dormant. Nekros is the Greek word. It's deceased. It's gone. But faith that has action behind it because it believes something, man, that thing's alive. And God's working with that thing, making that thing happen. And that's the kind of place we got here. We got a place here where we're going to put action behind our faith. I mean, heck, people need to be fed. What do? Yeah. We just feed them. Figure a way. Force feed them. Just make it happen. Anyway, I'm going to do something here. All right, so y'all with me? Everybody good with this? All right. Hebrews chapter 11. Thanks, Larch. Hebrews chapter 11, don't go there, but Hebrews chapter 11 has a list of people that are considered to be the faith champions, all right? It's the Hall of Fame of faith. If you want to know God's Hall of Fame, the folks that he and St. Paul sat down and decided, hey, Paul the Apostle, man, what you think? He's like, man, I'm thinking I'm going to put these names down right here. What you think, Lord? Yeah, that's good. Okay, great. We're going to start pinning them down. And it starts talking about people who had faith. And every single one of them heard from God, either by here or by the Spirit of God, and did something. Did something. Paul last week, it wasn't, I don't know if it was a wreck or whatever, but I think it landed, but I don't think we got it. The message even says, if you go to the app and look at it, it says, do something. Do something. Don't just sit in a pew every Sunday and Wednesdays if you're up here, and you know, don't do that thinking that you're doing your thing for God. You come here to get cranked up, to get ready for tomorrow. Tomorrow is when your ministry begins. Paul in mind, our ministry's right now, right here. We're doing this thing. This portion of what we do is right here, right now, to try to shove something on the inside of you so tomorrow, when we all get up and start going into the world, we actually minister. And begin to work. Do you know what the word ministry means? The word ministry means to work for the people. That's what you do. You go out and you serve on behalf of Jesus Christ himself, the best servant that ever lived, number one perfect servant that ever lived. You go out and you minister or serve for him. Those who wait upon the Lord, renew their strength. We talked about it. I don't know when we talked about it, but a waiter comes up and says, how can I help you? Do you need something today? Yeah, I want some water. Be right back. And they go in to get the water and they bring it back. Anything else? That's what they do. They're waiting on you. We should be waiting upon the Lord. What is it that you would have for me to do today? What is it? Smith Wigglesworth, I probably said this before, but Smith Wigglesworth got up in the morning, he danced, he prayed, he did all kinds of stuff, and then he sat down and asked the Lord, what is it that you would have me to do today? This man raised I don't know how many people from the dead, got all kind of miracles that are recorded in medical books that this thing happened, had this, dude prayed, stuff's gone. I mean, this stuff is written down and recorded to be that way. This man just said, what do you want me to do today, Lord? What would happen? How many folk we got in here? All right, we got a bunch of folk. What would happen if tomorrow morning every one of us got up and said, Lord, what is it you would have me to do today? Got the vision for it, slapped our faith on it, and then put some action to it. What would happen if we not only did that Monday, but we did it Tuesday? We did it every day of our life. We started to get up and find out not what's going on in the world, not what was on ABC, not turning on Fox News, not trying to get whatever coming up on our phone in the morning, not looking at Facebook, none of that. Just simply in the bed before we even have our cup of coffee, Lord, wow, what is it that you would have me to do today? What is it you want me to do today? Reveal it to me. Show it to me. Because I guarantee you, you start asking, and what happens if you ask, you what? Oh, if you seek, you what? And if you knock, what happens? Man, and all three of them take something on your part. You got to move. You got to ask. You got to seek. And you got to knock. A friend of mine said, if you knock, put your hand to something. You go to knock and you start putting your hand to it. Yeah, and everything you put your hand to will prosper. All right. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 10 and then I'm going to cut you loose. I just got a lot of mo. Forgive me here. I just have so much that turns and churns that I'm like, well, we doing that? No, we ain't doing that. Okay, Lord, what are we doing? You know? I have to sit here and go, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? All right? And if I get quiet and I do this, I'm chilling with the master. What's next? He said we're going to Mark chapter 10 is what he said. From that point, I don't know. See, and that's the way it works. You ain't going to get the whole deal. He goes, Lord, what would you have me to do today? What do you mean go to Walmart? I hate Walmart. You want me to go to Walmart? No, that ain't Jesus. That's got to be something else. But what'd Pastor say? Just do something. All right, I'm going to go to Walmart. Let me get up. Get out of here and go to Walmart. I have absolutely no clue why I'm walking around Walmart, but Jesus, I am walking around Walmart for you. And you'd be surprised what you run into. You'd be surprised what happened. You'll be surprised who comes up to you and says, hey, man, my back been jacking around with me. I need some prayer. Happens to me a lot. Will you pray for me? Hey, and don't do this one. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah. Don't do that one. Yo, you want prayer? Right now. Today. Because faith is what? Now. Faith is right now, today. We finna pray for you right now in the middle of Walmart, and anybody else needs a prayer, come on up in here. That's the way you got to do this thing, y'all. Because God is not going to get you to go to a place to find out and get information and then go back and tell somebody else what's going on. Oh, you know, we really need to pray for so-and-so. Really? When did you see him? I just saw him at the Walmart, and man, he was walking like this. And it was hashtag. And he was walking like hashtag. And he walking like hashtag, and he just really needs some prayer really bad. I know, man. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. We're going to scrap in the back. Don't ask somebody to do what God has asked you to do. Don't ask somebody else to take a hold to your blessing. There's a blessing in that. The Lord is looking to give you opportunity to minister for Him so that He's got opportunity to minister for you. If you minister for Him, He can now minister for you, because that's the way it works. You draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. That's what the Bible says. Read it. Just look at it. Don't leave it in the car trunk. Read it. Right here. I wonder what the Lord wants me to do. Man, there are 3.something million letters in here. Letters, like ABC letters, alphabet. of what God would have you to do. And if he needs more, he'll tell you. He'll get it across to you. So don't, yeah, something. Do something. Put your hand to it. Do something. Because faith without you doing something is dead. And when things die, they start smelling. You start stinking. We know you're stinking because you walk in here whining. Oh, okay. We'll pray for you. We love you. Don't get me wrong. But you hold on to that dead faith long enough, you're going to start to smell. Folk ain't going to want to be around you much. You're going to be like me sitting up here by yourself. Same shirt on, just smelling bad. I mean, y'all tracking with me? Y'all with me? Mark 10. I got to get out of here because that's where he told me to go. Mark 10, verse 46. Pastor Ginger hit on this morning. Now, they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. Then many warned him to be quiet. Be quiet. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said to the blind man, now he's talking to a blind man, what do you want me to do for you? Ask and be given. What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabboni, or Rabbi, or teacher, or dude, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Okay. Story. Blind Bartimaeus. He's a blind dude. He can't see nothing. That's why he's called blind Bartimaeus. And he's sitting on the road begging alms like he does every day. That's how he makes his living. Somebody got to give him something. He's got to shake the cup. Alms, alms for the poor, right? And he hears that Jesus is coming by. Now, I make the assumption that he's already heard about Jesus because he started calling out to him, Jesus, son of David, which actually called on the covenant that was passed down that God said that out of the root of David, out of the root of Jesse, and through the lineage of David will come the Messiah. So he's calling on that which God stated would be. He says, son of David. He's calling on the covenant that's already been made on that. You with me? He's calling on something that's already been done. Son of David. David been dead for years. Son of David, have mercy upon me. People told him to be quiet. You're dumb. You're blind. You're supposed to sit here, beg for alms. Don't be jacking with Jesus. He ain't got time for it. Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She had to push through the people and all the junk. Sometimes you just got to push through some junk. People going to tell you to shut your mouth. Uh-uh. Not going to be quiet. I almost got kicked out of the BDCC one night because the guard told me to calm them down, and I wouldn't. They was hollering and all, and he was trying to book somebody. The sergeant came in and hollered at me, so I figured I might ought to stop. I didn't want to get kicked out. I want to be able to come back, right? Got to use your sense sometimes. So he calls out all the more, son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stopped. Now get this, man. This ain't just Jesus and blind Bartimaeus. There's a bunch of folk around this thing, just like the woman with the issue of blood. And he cries out, son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stopped. Because finally, he hears some faith. He heard some faith. Tell him to come here. And so they went back to him and said, Jesus has called you, he wants you to come here. And the Bible says that he threw off his garment. Back that up there, Sarah. I can't remember what verse it is, but it's like 51, 50. That he threw off his garment. Yeah, and throwing aside his garment, he did it. Didn't nobody take it off of him. Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus stops. Bring him here. I got something for him. And he didn't just sit there. He finna wait upon the Lord. Watch him rise up and mount up with wings like eagles. Watch him run and what not be weary. Watch him walk and not faint. Watch him right here. Y'all tracking me here. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. He moved. Little interesting note about the garment. To be able to be able to beg alms and to have the right to do that, you had to wear a particular colored robe back in this day. That whenever you had that robe on, you were the one that was allowed to ask for alms. When he called upon Jesus and they told him that Jesus wants to see him, that thing which gave him the right to make money all the days of his life and be able to collect from whomever, collect all the time, he took that thing and threw it off. He chucked it off. Because why? Because now I'm going to put some action behind my faith. I believe that once I get to Jesus, once I get where he tells me to be, all this junk that's on me is coming off. I'm about to get my sight. Jesus didn't know. Look at this. Look at this. Jesus didn't know what Bartimaeus wanted from him. He didn't know. He said, "What is it I could do for you?" I've been like, "Man, I'm blind, dude. I want to see. What you think I want from you?" Jesus didn't know what he wanted. What is it that you want from me? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God is crying out this morning. What is it that you want? What is it that you want from me? What is it that you are asking of me? And I'm telling you right now this morning, I subject to you this morning, that if you'll stand up and you throw off the garment of who you used to be, what you used to be, how you used to be, and step into the things that Jesus has for you, you will walk free the rest of your life. All the days of your life, you'll be free. You'll never be the same again. Bartimaeus knew that all he heard that Jesus was ready to see him. He knew that Jesus was ready to, he was there. But Jesus is there. I'm going to go see Jesus, and all this that I used to be is gone. Watch me wait. Y'all want to watch me? Watch me wait. I'll be moving, waiting upon the Lord. Amen. Stand up. Stephen, get up here. Watch me wait. Stretch your hands real quick. First thing we're going to pray for is that Greg doesn't get beat up by Paul. Okay? I appreciate that. Son of David, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Master, the Teacher, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the bright and shining star, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. We're calling on the mercy right now, God. Mercy that we can access through your grace, by our faith. We're asking you now to fill us, to touch us, to make us whole. Father, I'm asking you every need that's in this building, I'm asking now that those needs be met. And now I believe that the needs are met, people. It's whether or not you want to walk in the newness of life. It's up to you from this point. Whatever your need is, whatever your want is, whatever your pain is, whatever it is that you've got on you, I am now, and I know that every pastor in this building is hooking up with me. It's released in the name of Jesus. It's gone. And so now you have to have an act of faith. You have got to put action to your faith. Faith without any kind of action is dead. Faith without any kind of action is dead. Faith without moving is dead. If you need deliverance, if you've accepted the deliverance from Jesus Christ this morning, now's the time to put some action behind your faith. I got Pastor Paul up here. He's been flowing in a healing anointing all morning. We knew it when we got here. You need healing in your body, now's the time. Come on to the front.